here.
Yeah, I see that. I am half sitting. All right. That's what I was looking for. So, I'm a son of a police officer, and before you judge me about that, I got along with Jimmy pretty quickly, and I think Jimmy understands that any child of police officers or reverends or prison wardens or gym teachers or all these positions of authority are usually the worst ones of all. And so, we're all right. And Jimmy said, I want you to do a reading with me. And I said, that sounds great. And he said, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be at the Monroeville Mall, and we're going to wear monk robes. And I said, that sounds pretty good, you know. And Daniela knows, and Leslie knows. And then we had to practice our poems, and that wasn't that good, you know. And Jimmy stopped us and corrected us and then made us start from the beginning again. And I didn't like that either. But it was a really great experience, and some of that magic that Jimmy talks about, I stole it. I stole a lot off of all the readers here tonight. So thanks for having me here, and we made this little book with this reading, and so there's a poem, if I remember correctly, you wrote right around the time this was all going on, almost like a year ago almost. And so this is one of Jimmy's poems called Just Me and the Boys Having Fun. She said, you think you're Charles Bukowski, don't you? I said, no, I don't. Yes, you do. I said, I don't even try to think I'm Bukowski. She said, you sit around in a dirty t-shirt, belch real loud, fart real loud, scratch yourself real loud, sit in your room real loud, type your poems real loud, talk to yourself real loud, laugh to yourself real loud, and you're quiet real loud. I said, farting and belching are better out. And I don't talk to myself real loud, and you shouldn't be listening to my quiet, even when it's done real loud. She said, I can't help but listen. Your quiet is loud. Or sometimes you're mad real loud, like crazy real loud. I asked, crazy real loud? She said, like when you're writing poetry, I can hear you barking and singing strange songs and swearing, even cursing at God. I said, first of all, you shouldn't be listening. Secondly, barking is healthy. And even a shrink will tell you that singing alone is just cleansing the soul. Even Mark Twain swore. And I'm not swearing at God, I'm talking to God, which is different. She said, you do swear at God. I've heard you. In fact, you swear and shake your fist toward heaven. I said, God doesn't like sissies. And he's tired of everyone asking for the same stupid stuff. Like, God, I need money. And God, if I get this promotion. God, help me with my screwed up kids. Help me, help me, help me. God hates the begging and the whining. In fact, God told me he's tired of your shit, too. She said, God never told you he's tired of me. I said, yes, he did. In fact, God said you should do more stuff for me. Like fix me a sandwich. And God said, there's never such thing as too much mayo. She said, God never said that, but I'll fix you a sandwich anyway. I said, I don't think I'm Bukowski. I'm better than him. He had limitations. Women, the drinking, racetrack, fighting. He never had war, real war, fire and the smell. He never had drugs, heroin and cocaine, men with gangrene and pregnant women with AIDS. He never had to bury a whore tell a grandfather that his grandson had been shot and died on the dirty sidewalks. He never had to lie and hold a woman's hand who lost love. He never had to cut the rope of the hanged. He never had to wake up in the middle of the night sweating, hearing the hammer of a gun fall. He never had to measure the dead. I sometimes swear with God, and we both love the dirty words. Sometimes we bark together because we love to pretend we're dogs. Sometimes we pretend we're horses, and sometimes we're birds. Sometimes me and God, we pretend we're snakes, and we coil ourselves around each other and laugh like we're monkeys. Sometimes God and me even cry together. I wipe his tears and he wipes mine. Sometimes me and God fall asleep together, and guess what? We both snore. Sometimes we invite Bukowski to our party, and that old bastard shows up drunk, but we get along, and he reminds me he had a typer that made cash, and for me, it's okay to try. She said, you better take your medicine. I'll fix the sandwich. I said, you can put monkey meat on it and easy on the baby seal sauce. She said, you're crazy. I said, so was Mozart, Van Gogh and Nietzsche, and guess what? We all talked with God. She said, that's nice. I said, next week, we're all planning to go out and visit a whorehouse, and you're not invited. She said, I'll get you some soup with the sandwich. I said, not too hot. The guys hate to burn their lips. I went into the room and told the guys, I better not mention Harpo or she'll really think I'm crazy. The guys said, shouldn't have mentioned the whorehouse. I hope she makes tomato soup with red roasted peppers. We're tired of chicken noodle. I said, let's get busy and write, because somewhere there's a guy making a nuke and twisting the bolts too tight. They all said, yep, twisting the bolts too tight. We could hear the wrench fall and Satan cackle real, real loud. So. I'll just do two of my own, and working with Jimmy on this project, he mentioned he liked a couple of these, so, you know, these ones are for you, Jimmy. This one's called Counterculture. It's not for me, the conservatively dressed, middle-aged, bleach blonde says. It's a gag gift from my sister. I ring and pretend I don't even see the 12-inch glow-in-the-dark vibrator. There's other stuff, too. Motion lotion, heart-shaped handcuffs, magic eight ball, an erotic board game. I ring slow, watch the woman squirm with every passing person. She holds her credit card 12 inches from my face. I scan the vibrator, stand it up like a foot-long space shuttle awaiting takeoff. The line grows and I ask, do you want batteries with that? No, just the total. Between her red face and green gag gift, they look like a broken traffic light. I speak at the speed of yellow. The woman forces her Visa onto me. I hand her the bag, see-through plastic. She looks sideways down the line to the man behind her, this well-dressed bald man. Maybe he saw. For all she knew, he may be a playwright. She rushes off, stuffs the bag into her sequined purse as the playwright places a blow-up doll on the counter. This is workplace post-it note number 17. I had this boss who put them all over the place, and so this is one of them. Dyslexic Lydia, do not leave the toilet paper roll empty ever again. And when you hang the new one, please don't do so in an underhanded fashion. Even with your learning disability, you wipe your ass just like everyone else. So, thanks. Leslie McElroy's up next. She's gonna kick ass.